Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Oh, good day. It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today I'm speaking about the angels again, and I'm looking at Daniel 10. The Bible is filled with the angelic powers, those messengers, those servants of God that are ever in the presence of God, worshiping God, singing and praising God, the servants of God, the holy angels. But there are also other angels. One-third of the angels were fallen. They said, we will not serve, and they followed the enemy. They followed Lucifer. They followed the devil. Oh, now we look at Daniel 10. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat, no wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. So we see there's a great fast going on, 21 days. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris River, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with gold. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the noise of a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me, they did not see the vision, but they had a great trembling, and that great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words. When I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep, and with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, give heed to the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, that's Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia and came to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground. I was dumb. And behold, one in the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me. I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk to me with me? For now no strength remains in me. No breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. When I am through with him, lo, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against thee, except Michael, your prince. So now, Michael the archangel. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. There is a fight in the heavenlies. There is a fight in the heavenlies. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, that is the evil one, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So there is a fight, a battle, a battle. And I'm going to tell you what the battle is for now. You must realize today that the angels are not only before the throne of God, but the angels are continually fighting for us. the stake that is at stake of the eternal souls of people. Believe me, what is at stake is not a piece of steak, but the eternal souls of people. God has sent his angels to withstand the Prince of Persia, to withstand Satan. God has sent his angels in the power of the blood to withstand Satan. But I want to also tell you, I want to tell you that we have free will, and the angels need not fight for us, because if we are going in the direction of hell, the angels will not fight for us, because our souls are at stake. They want to fight for us. They want to fight for people. They want to fight for the church. But if our aim is to be the world, if the church decides to be the world, the angels will take a vacation. I tell you that. I tell you that. Jesus called us, you and I, and the church, the whole church, one holy Catholic and apostolic church, to be in the world and not of the world. This is such an important statement that he makes on the night before he died, that I call you to be in the world, but not of the world. And you must know, when we are of the world, when we are of the world, we are out of the will of God, and then we experience the ravage, the experience of being ravaged by the Prince of Persia. Do you understand what I mean? When we are out of the will of God, when the church is out of the will of God, when the church acts like the world, then God gives the church up for a while and lets the Prince of Persia get in the way of all that we are doing. The only thing that the Lord is looking for from the church and from you and I is a repentant heart, that our hearts would be turned unto the Master, that we would say with Daniel, we have sinned, we deserve this, that we would say with Ezra, oh God, we have committed iniquity and adultery against you. We come now shamefaced and ask for mercy. You must know that the angels of God will literally step back when the church and when we decide that we are going to be of the world, when we use the structures of the world, when we are no different than the world, the holy angels will step back, and God will discipline his people. He will discipline his church. He will discipline his beloved. He will strip his beloved bare. That goes for the institution, and that goes for me. When I fall away from God, I'm going to tell you, he is so patient, he calls me back. 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 And then there comes a point that his patience says, no, I withdraw my angels. I withdraw my support. I will let the Prince of Persia bite at their heels until they return to me and say, we have sinned. This is the story of the Hebrew Scriptures. This is the story of the church. This is the story. This is the history of the church. God calling a people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his own, not to be of the world, but to be in the world, to be the light of the world, to be the lighthouse in the midst of distress. This is what the church is going through now. This is what the church in the United States and Canada and Europe going through now. The Prince of Persia is biting at our feet. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the church has become the world. We are not only in it, We are of it. Lawyers run dioceses. Lawyers. Discernment, there is no such thing as discernment when we sell our property to Boston College. There is no such thing as discernment. Money is the top priority, not souls. Programs, and not conversion. If anyone needs conversion in the Archdiocese of Boston, it's Father Tom and the rest of the priests. Never mind the people. If anyone needs conversion in the Archdiocese of Boston, it's Father Tom and the rest of the priests. Because if the priests are not converted, you can stand on your heads and nothing will happen. Or very little will happen. Very little. Like it or not, we are an institutional church. And the priest is the one who speaks for God or doesn't speak for God. The priest is the one who speaks for the church or doesn't speak for the church. The priest is the one who must be the man of God or who is not the man of God. Conversion is the most important thing in the life of the priest. To be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that priests don't work hard, believe me. Many priests work harder than I do. But I'm going to tell you one thing, my friends. When people come into the office, if I did not have the gift of the Holy Spirit and did not have an authority in the kingdom of God, I would have to refer everybody. I have people who come to me that go to psychiatrists that have been on medicine. And you know, I'm not against medicine. I take medicine. But I'm also going to tell you this. They come to me in deep depression. They leave the office at peace because God touches them. Even if it lasts 3 days, it's 3 days of peace that they didn't have. And then they come back. Maybe next time it'll last 4 days as we get to the root of it. You see, I am in the world. But I cannot be of the world. But the world has evangelized me as well as you and as well as the church. We have all gone through the school of unbelief. And I will tell you, the Prince of Persia is nipping at the feet of the church in Boston. And we are being stripped. Stripped bare. I know this is happening, and no cardinal, no radio ministry, no priest is able to turn it around other than the repentance of the diocese and of all the people that we have lived like the world. Our modus operandi is the world. We are no different than the world. We have a crucifix up. We say our prayers. But we are ruled by lawyers. We have no discernment. Children are dying at Planned Parenthood, and nobody is there but a few. And it is those few that will make a difference. Oh yes, everybody's going to march on the common. What good will that do? Don't march on the common to make yourself feel good with balloons. The only good thing that does is raise money for pro-life issues. That's good. Go to the abortion mills and pray, where you can be the last voice to save a life of a child. I tell you, the Prince of Persia is nipping at the feet of the church. Oh God, send Michael the Archangel. Send Michael the Archangel. Send the Holy Spirit, O God, to bring us to a place of repentance. For my Father and my God, unless you do something, we will destruct, we will self-destruct without repentance. We will self-destruct. And your people are like sheep without a shepherd. We have people from the islands, you know, they went to Catholic school, 12 years, beautiful people went to Catholic school. You know what they told me? Father Tom, we really never heard about Jesus, that we could be new people, and that Jesus could be really real in our lives. We went to school in the islands, beautiful Catholic schools. But until we came to the Holy Rosary, we never heard the message that Jesus could become real and that we could have a relationship and that he's at our beck and call. He's in our hearts. I'm not telling you I'm the only one that's doing it. That's not what I'm saying. But as I drive by churches and I see the bingo signs and the flea market signs and the Las Vegas night signs, and as I hear from Holy Cross College that they're having Planned Parenthood do a whole day in one of their auditoriums, and Georgetown's paying interns who work for Planned Parenthood, Georgetown University. The theology department of Boston College, for the most part, they are unorthodox in their doctrine about Jesus, but in the whole ethics experience. Many people are pro-abortion. And we sell our property to them. On the grounds of our seminary, where our forefathers spent their lives to get this land for us. Weston Theology School will be there, and some of the priests in the faculty of Weston have gone before the Vatican because they've been accused of being pedophiles. They are pro-homosexual. They're going to be on our grounds. Oh, yes. The ex-rector wrote a letter, and you know, he was right. But no one listens. No one listens. So what does that mean? It means the Prince of Persia will come closer to us and bite at our heels. And we will be stripped some more until we repent. This is the message of the prophets. This is the message of Jeremiah. This is the message of Isaiah. This is the message of Hosea. This is the message of the prophets. This is God's, these are God's prophets that we read every morning. And we don't realize the Word of God is as active and true in 2007 as it was when Hosea spoke. And when Jeremiah said, to Babylon you will go for 70 years. Don't think that God will not chastise his church. We are in the middle of a great chastisement. There has been a great falling away. Do you think I enjoy this? I want to tell you, I feel the pain. And the pain is not for the church, you must know that. The pain is for the church who equals the people. That's the pain. My heart goes out to the people. because they do not know their left hand from their right, as it says in the book of Jonah, that the Ninevites did not know their left hand from their right when it came to the things of God. And they were called to repentance. And the moment they repented, God relented. I am not speaking in my own message, okay? This is not my message. My message is not my message. This is the biblical message. For the cardinal to hear, for me to hear, for you to hear, for anyone who has ears to listen. I drive down the street, you know, just walking to this little place where I am right now. I see this person at the corner, pathetic, waiting for a bus. Oh, I could see the pain in her eyes. I said, good morning. And then I prayed for her as I walked. And then as I came closer to the house, there was a young man smoking in his pajamas. But it was more than smoke, it was the pain. It was coming from this young man. I prayed for him and received a call today from a person, and just the pain that's oozing through the telephone. You see, I'm not the God that carries their pain, but I have to be the intercessor that at least prays on the way when I see it. God's people are ravaged. The great lighthouse, the church, has become the world. And we need to repent. Oh, I pray today that as the prodigal son was in the pig pen, that finally the pig pen did its work, you see. Oh, he had enough of the pig pen, didn't he? When he came to his senses, the pig pen did its work. We too are in a pig pen, feeding the pigs. Father, I pray that the pig pen would do its work in the church and in the individuals that hear my voice and in me, that we would realize we have a heavenly Father, that we would realize that we are loved with an everlasting love, that we don't have to feed the pigs. Let the pig pen do its work as it did its work in the prodigal son. Let the pain that we experience cause us to run unto the cross, to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I pray, Father, through the blood of the Lamb, that the pig pen and the Prince of Persia would work for you and cause us to repent. I pray, Father, for the sake of the lost, for the very three people I saw early this morning. Would you touch them now? Would you touch them? Would you touch them now? Would you let them know that they're loved with an everlasting love? Would you touch them, Lord? Would you bring them to the foot of the cross? Amen. Well, I do thank you for listening. And this Friday in the evening, and I'll tell you more tomorrow, this Friday in the evening, I think about 6 or 6:30, we're going to have, with the Holy Father, the Pope, a time of Eucharistic adoration for children. It's something that the Pope has mandated, that the children would come before the Eucharistic Lord. The Archdiocese is doing something, and we are doing something. This Friday. It's the 5th of October. I'll tell you more tomorrow. And again, people that are looking for a real good program of religious education, Holy Rosary offers the best. We bring the people, the children, before the Eucharist. We do not only teach them, but we let Jesus, the teacher, the lover, touch them. For people who are interested in starting a First Communion class, or any class from grade 2 to 10, you dial 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210, and it's worth the commute. If you want your children to come into a relationship with Jesus, you bring them to Mass, to Holy Rosary, and to the CCD program. All of our teachers love Jesus Christ, and all of our teachers know Jesus Christ. So we're looking especially for First Communicants. 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. And you know, my friends, I do need to hear from people. I want to thank people for having responded to the letter, but we have not yet paid our August bills, never mind September. So we need quite a bit of money to pay August bills, and then we start with September. These broadcasts, I tell you, I don't give you words. I'm not into giving you words, and I'm not even just giving you just doctrine. I'm into giving you the state of the church, and to pray for the church, and to fast for the church, and to fast for me, because I'm no better than the church. You know, I'm no better. I've been evangelized by the world just like everybody else. And God called me to live in the world, but not of the world. So you help us, please. I do need to hear from people. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please write today. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.